If you want to turn with me to Colossians, New Testament book of Colossians in your Bible, we're going to be looking at specifically a verse, Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ. Peace that comes from Jesus. Jesus' very own peace given to us. Now, I want to be ruled by the peace of Christ in my heart. I want your hearts to be ruled by the peace of Christ, no matter what we face in the days ahead. John chapter 14, Jesus said to his fear-filled and troubled disciples whose hearts were filled with sorrow because he had told them he was leaving them and life for them would be hard. He says in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, Jesus promised to give them his very own peace. Peace in the midst of affliction. Peace in adverse circumstances. Peace when death is looming large. Peace that is able to think of others above self even while being crucified. John 16:33, he says, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." In the world you will have tribulation, but in me you can have peace. Paul in Philippians 4 instructs the Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need God's peace to replace our anxiety, to guard our minds, to guard our hearts. We need the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts in the middle of adverse circumstances. So the question is, how? How does this work? How do we get the peace of God to rule in our hearts? Notice in Colossians, this is a command. Let the peace of Christ rule. That's a command for us to obey. For any of you grammar geeks, it's a present active imperative, which means it's a command. It's something you're supposed to be doing and continue to do. It's not something that happens to us. It's not something that happens automatically. This is something we need to obey. We need to let the peace of Christ be our umpire, to decide, to determine, to direct, to control. That's what that word means, rule. So how do we do that? Well, this verse appears in Colossians chapter 3, which gives instructions for Christian living, and this is the third chapter of a letter. So it's really not fair to jump in here without following the logic of the letter. Chapter 3 begins with these words, "If therefore. Now, therefore is a connection. Because of everything I've already said, therefore do this. If is conditional. It assumes something is true of you. If this is true of you, then this is what can happen. He says, if therefore you have been raised up with Christ. I want to say right here, if this is not true of you, you can't go any farther. You can't obey the command to let the peace of Christ rule if you haven't been first raised up with Christ. What's he talking about, raised up with Christ? Well, we need to look back through the letter to see what he's talking about. Flip back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. At the very opening of this letter, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. You see, this letter is written to believers, people who have put their faith in Christ Jesus. This is written to those who have heard the gospel, heard the word of truth, to those who understand the grace of God, his free gift, to those who couldn't earn it and will never be worthy of it. Grace. He says in chapter 1, verse 12, that the Father has made us sufficient. It says, he has qualified you, made you sufficient to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, this letter is written to the redeemed, those who have been forgiven of all their sins, who have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He addresses us in chapter 1, verse 21. He says, and you, who once were alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. He addresses believers, those who are trusting in, depending on, holding fast to the good news that Jesus' death is sufficient to reconcile sinners to God and make us blameless in his sight. Chapter 2, he cautions against false teachers, exhorts us to remain anchored in Jesus, walking in dependence on him and him alone. He says in verse 6, therefore, as you have received Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. He then refers to circumcision and baptism, two symbols of putting off or putting to death our old way of life. He says in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You see, here we get to this idea of being raised, those who are raised with Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ. You see, the debt is canceled. If we died with Christ, we have then been raised again through faith into a new kind of life. Now, it is to those who have embraced Jesus by faith, who have believed the good news, that all our sins were legally, once and for all, dealt with at the cross, who have died and been made alive with Christ by God's resurrection power, it is to those that he gives the instructions in chapter 3. So before we go any further, I just want to invite you, if you're listening right now, and if this is not true of you, right now, turn to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus, a sinner in need of forgiveness. Ask him to cancel your debt, to make you new. Believe in him. Trust him that what he accomplished on the cross is everything necessary for you to be rescued from what you deserve. You can't add anything. Receive his gift. Do it now. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Because of what is true of us in the gospel, because we have been raised with Christ to a new kind of life, our hearts, our minds ought to pursue different things. Seek the things that are above. Seek Jesus. Set your mind on Jesus. Your life is hid with Christ, with Jesus in God. Christ is your life. Christ is your greatest treasure. Set your mind, set your heart on him. Remember, these are active commands. Seek the things above. Set your mind on things above. So what are you looking at? What are you reading? What are you thinking about? What are you listening to? Are you setting your mind, setting your heart on things above or on things of the earth? Now, this does not mean that we have our head in the clouds and are oblivious to the things happening around us. But it does mean that our attention in the middle of the breaking news is fixed on the one who is sovereign over life and death, the one who is upholding all things by his own powerful word, the one in whom is our only hope in life and in death. This means that we need to keep the gospel always in front of us, to consciously set our highest affections on Christ, and to filter every headline through the gospel truth that we say we believe. Our hope is a gospel hope, a firm assurance that looks beyond the grave. Because of this hope, because of what is true of us in Christ, because we have died and been raised to a new kind of life, because our hearts and our minds are pursuing a greater affection, we should live differently than we once did. Paul says that because we have died to our sins, we should now put to death the actions that are consistent with those old dead desires. He He says in Colossians 3 verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. And then he gives a laundry list of what is earthly, the way we once walked, because of which the wrath of God was coming on us. He instructs us to put this kind of lifestyle to death, to put it away, to strip it off like a contaminated set of clothes. Putting off, putting on. He's using this metaphor of clothing. Putting off, putting on. We have been washed clean on the inside. It doesn't make much sense after taking a shower and getting clean to then put on, back on the same reeking, filthy, germ-ridden clothes you were wearing before bathing. That just, who would do that? You put on a fresh, clean set of clothes after you've cleaned yourself. We, as believers, are to put on a clean set of clothes because we are clean. It says in Colossians 3 verse 9, you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying. Don't wear that around anymore. Those are things that bring God's wrath, and you are dead to that. This is the new set of clothes that we are to put on after having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Notice, that's who we are. Chosen by God. Holy, set apart by God for a higher purpose. Loved by God. We've been forgiven of all trespasses through our trust in Christ. We've been raised with Christ. Our life is hidden now with Christ in God. That is our new identity. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the context where he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of Christ is now to arbitrate our every response, our every word, our every reaction. Since Romans 5, we have been justified by faith. We have, as a present possession, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are now at peace with God, peace should rule in our hearts and our emotions. We're no longer at war. We're no longer in fear of death. We're no longer in fear of God in the sense that we're afraid of His wrath. Rather, death has lost its sting, and we are forever secure and at peace with our Creator. Because we are at peace with God, because the peace of Christ is arbitrating in our hearts, we now can be at peace with one another. You see the community here. You were called to the peace of Christ in one body. You're called not only to be at peace with one another, but to promote the peace of Christ. This is so important. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, we are to set our hearts and our minds on Christ. We are to have the peace of Christ be the deciding factor in our hearts, and we are to have the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Only then are we in a position to encourage the community of believers. And that's what we are called to, brothers and sisters. Teaching one another, admonishing one another, singing with one another, giving thanks with one another. In this time especially, that one another ministry is so vitally important. Set your mind, set your heart on Christ above all. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power of Your Word that is at work in Your people to conform us more to the image of Your only Son, Jesus. Lord, give us what it takes in these times to fix our hearts, to set our minds on things above, not on what's going on so much around us. To help us to filter every headline through the good news that we have been bought with a price, and we are no longer our own, but we belong to You, and we are eternally safe with You. Thank You for the hope that You are coming back for us, that You love us, and that You want to work through us in the lives of others. Lord, help us take this time to saturate our souls in Your Word, to spend time listening, reading, absorbing Your truth. Fill our hearts to overflowing with the gospel truth. And may that overflow to everyone around us. May everything we do be done in the name, for the sake, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Your great name we pray, Jesus. Amen.